Our second scripture lesson this morning kind of follows up on what we've been looking at in the last few weeks from the book of Romans. We're going back to Romans this morning, chapter 6, verses 18 to 23. Let's hear and attend God's word. You have been set free from sin and have become slaves to righteousness. I put this in human terms because you are weak in your natural selves, just as you used to offer the parts of your body to slavery, to impurity, and to ever-increasing wickedness. So now, offer them in slavery to righteousness, leading to holiness. When you were slaves to sin, you were free from the control of righteousness. What benefit did you reap at that time from the things you are now ashamed of? Those things result in death. But now you have seen, you have been set free from sin and become slaves to God. The benefit you reap leads to holiness, and the result is eternal life. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. May God add his blessing to this reading of his holy word. Freedom, what we're going to celebrate this week. But we know freedom comes at a cost, doesn't it? We celebrate the young men and women who have laid down their lives and that we might live in a free country. But we get mixed up sometimes about what freedom really is, don't we? One of the advantages of age, which most of us here can appreciate, is we can look at the 18-year-olds, and when they say, oh man, when I'm out from under mom and dad's thumb, I'm just going to be so free, I'm going to do this, I'm going to do that, and I'll be my own boss, right? And we know how that all works out. We've watched it in ourselves and in other generations. But how do we define freedom? Our contemporary understanding of freedom does mislead us sometimes into believing that if we're lucky or we're strong or we're bold or beautiful and powerful enough, we can live absent of any obligations or commitments, any requirements. But we know that just doesn't work, does it? We are obligated, we are committed, and as the Apostle Paul says, we make ourselves slaves to one thing or another. And when we come to our senses and we realize the grace and the love of God, we make ourselves slaves to God. Slaves to righteousness, as Paul says. Paul invites the Christians in Rome and by extension all of us to consider that the choice before us is not whether to be obedient or free, but rather to what we will be freely obedient. Paul is writing here to the church in Rome and to churches that in those days this letter would have been passed from church to church and used in worship and read out loud in many little churches. That's how we have Paul's letters, is because they were passed around from church to church, and you know, they were preserved because of that. And one of the things that comes up is, what is sin? God sets us free from sin. We are free not to sin. What is sin? What is the sin that we see around us? What is it? Is real sin. We see power-hungry dictators who unleash tanks against their own people. Putin had his army fire upon the Wagner people who were working for them, fighting for them. Does it make sense? And of course, we know that Wagner then marched on Moscow to make their point, that they didn't appreciate that very much. Is that sin? The result of sin is death over and over. Things that lead to death are sin. There is a cost to being free, and Jesus paid that cost. So it's interesting in this week when we're celebrating our freedom to think about what does it mean? Or what would it cost for this nation to be formed? Remember the famous words, we hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal, that they are endowed by their Creator with certain inalienable rights, that among these are life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. Of course, that's the beginning of the Declaration of Independence. 56 men signed that Declaration of Independence. And I thought it was interesting to do a little research to find out what price did they pay? Because they stood up to the most powerful nation in the world at that time. Remember? 5 of them were captured by the British almost immediately. They were tortured and died in British captivity. 12 had their homes ransacked and burned. 2 lost their sons in the Revolutionary Army and had 2 sons captured. 9 of the 56 fought and died from wounds or hardships that they suffered in the Revolutionary War. They signed and they pledged their lives and their fortunes and their sacred honor. And little did they know that all of them would pay a price. And what kind of men were they? They were, 24 of them were lawyers. Yay, lawyers, right? 11 were merchants, 9 were farmers and large plantation owners, men of means, and they were well educated, all of them. But they signed a Declaration of Independence knowing that there would be a stiff penalty if they were caught. Carter Braxton, interesting story, saw his ships swept away from the seas by the British Navy. They were quick. He sold his home and properties and he died in rags. Thomas McKean was so hounded by the British that he was forced to move his family almost constantly. He served in the Congress without pay, and his family was kept in hiding. His possessions were taken from him, and poverty was his reward. At the Battle of Yorktown, that's another interesting story. Thomas Nelson Jr. noted that the British General Cornwallis had taken over his own home for his headquarters. He quietly urged General George Washington to open fire on his own home. The home was destroyed, and Nelson went away bankrupt. Francis Lewis also had his home and properties destroyed, and families didn't escape. His wife was jailed, and she died within a few months in jail. John Hart was driven from his wife's bedside as she was dying, and their 13 children forced to flee for their lives out into the fields and in the woods. His fields and gristmill were laid waste, and he lived in forests and caves, returning home to find his wife dead and his children all gone. That's just a small amount of the price of that document, of the freedom that we're enjoying. These were soft-spoken men of means. They had security, they had valued their lives, but they also valued freedom more. They paid the price. And so this morning I draw a parallel between the bravery of these men and women to the bravery that's required of us in this day and time, in the year 2023, to repent of sin and totally turn completely to God, to be able to and willing to pay the cost to live in the freedom to choose God. Those who signed the Declaration of Independence committed themselves to a course of action that would indeed cost them dearly. But how easy we have it in comparison. Christ has already paid the price. By his shed blood, we are set free from sin. As the Apostle Paul says, and we are free now to become slaves of the one who loves us, who loved us so much that he sent his only begotten Son. The benefit, Paul says, you reap leads to holiness. And the result is eternal life. Now, those who signed the Declaration of Independence, we hope were Christians and that they reap rewards that lead to holiness and eternal life, but there's no notation about their spiritual connection. But we do know that they died for a principle. The wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. And basically that's what it comes down to, isn't it? That's what it comes down to, that we celebrate the gift of God today. I was going to do a children's sermon about how we have just six months till Christmas, right? We received the gift of Jesus Christ once again. You know, the gifts that we received last year or gave last year, who even remembers them, perhaps? But we remember that gift above all of the Lord Jesus Christ, of salvation and eternal life in him. We have indeed been set free from sin so that we can voluntarily and happily become slaves of God and to righteousness. To him be the glory. Amen. Join me in a word of prayer. Almighty God, we thank you that Jesus paid the price, that you have set us free. We are no longer under compulsion to do that which is evil, but we've set our sights, our hearts on being and doing the good that Christ has taught us, to being slaves to his righteousness. Make us good and faithful servants, we pray. In Jesus' holy name, amen.